didn't get what we wanted. There are really only two options in life. Number one, if the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. That means I shall not be greedy or be unhappy or be dissatisfied. Number two, but if I'm in want, then it is obvious that I'm being led or shepherded by someone else or something else. If job or our career shepherds us, then there is restlessness and frantic activity and frustration. If education is our shepherd, then we are constantly being disillusioned. If another person is our shepherd, we are always disappointed. Ultimately, we are left empty. But if the Lord is our shepherd, as David says, then we shall not be in want. If the Lord is to be our shepherd, then we have to begin by recognizing that we are his sheep. What do you know about sheep? Well, number one, sheep are dumb and they are dirty. Not as clean as those in pictures. Number two, they are timid and they are defenseless. They are helpless. Number three, they are always getting lost and hurt and bitten by snakes. Number four, they literally do not know enough to come in out of the rain. Number five, to have God tell me that I am a sheep really hurts. But if I'm really honest with myself, I know it is true. I know that I lack wisdom and strength. I know my tendency toward going my own way and doing my own thing. I know that is me. I am a sheep. Isaiah said, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone on his own way. And if Jesus Christ is to be my shepherd, I have to admit that I am a sheep and I need a shepherd. Once we admit that we need a shepherd, we discover the truth of what David is saying. We shall not want. Notice first, the shepherd is my provider, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The basic needs of a flock of sheep are grass and water. Here is a picturesque scene of sheep lying down in green meadows, having eaten their fill and now totally satisfied, and then being led by still waters. Sheep are afraid of running waters. They will drink only from a quiet pool. Jesus Christ is all we need. John chapter 6 verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never be hungry, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ meets all our needs. There's a poem that says, I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom, the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Isn't that the sad story of many lives? Aren't we sometimes like that ourselves? Not satisfied with what we have, but always wanting. God not only provides food and water, He also provides the rest. Notice the Bible says, He makes me lie down. Sheep doesn't know when to rest. Philip Keller is an Australian shepherd who wrote the book A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, says, Often the sheep will be grazing in the field, and the cry of a child or the shout of a wolf or some disturbance will come, and they will begin to run back and forth across the pasture, round and round in circles, wearing themselves out. The shepherds know that they have a long journey ahead of them and cannot expend their energy this way. So he will move into the flock and take each sheep by the scruff of the neck, and he will force it to lie down until he quiets it. Then another and another sheep until the entire flock is at rest. He literally moves into the midst of the flock and causes the sheep to lie down in green pastures. Has the shepherd ever done that for you? Sometimes he has to force you to rest through sickness or an accident or some event out of our control. Several years ago, a newspaper told how a new Navy jet fighter shot itself down. It was flying at supersonic speed. It ran into a cannon shell that it had fired only a few seconds before. The jet was traveling too fast. Are we traveling too fast also? You are traveling too fast if you have no time to worship God in regular church services, or if you don't have time to read your Bible, or if you don't have time to pray. If you do not slow down, God will slow you down. God may interrupt you and make you lie down in green pasture or in the hospital. Notice second, the shepherd is our guide. In verse 3, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The shepherd gives direction in life. He leads me in right paths. The Hebrew word translated paths means a well-defined, well-worn trail. This indicates again how stupid sheep are. Because even though when the trail is well laid out, they still need a shepherd. They are still inclined to wander away no matter how obvious the path may be. Driving in New Jersey, sometimes we see dead animals on the roadside. Why? You know, they are hit by cars. One day, in the development that I'm living, I saw a dead cat lying on the middle of the road. Supposedly, people should drive very slowly, probably like 5 miles per hour, within the community. Anyway, the cat was dead. Obviously, it was hit by a car too fast. And then some kind person put a flower bouquet near the cat to remember how nice the cat was. Suppose a sheep would walk by and saw this cat. Do you think that it would learn from this tragedy and select a safer path? No, it would just make the same tragic mistake as that cat. It would not know how to avoid danger. Human beings are like sheep. We go the wrong way. Even though we see others have fallen on the roadside, we still don't learn from the tragedy. Do you know anyone who drinks and drives and later gets into an accident? Do people learn from it? We don't. If we do not follow God's guidance, we will suffer the consequences. The shepherd guides us in the right paths. Third, the shepherd is our comforter. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is our comforter. People say there are two things certain: death and taxes. Speaking of death and taxes, there's a story of a businessman. When he was on his deathbed, he called his friend and said, "Bill, I want you to promise me when I die, you will have my remains cremated." And his friend said, "Well, and what do you want me to do with your ashes?" The businessman said, "Just put them in an envelope and mail them to the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, and write on the envelope, 'Now you have everything.'" In verse 4, there is a very picturesque scene. The shepherd is leading the sheep back home at evening, and they go down through a narrow valley. The long shadows lie across the trail. In the Hebrew, this is a valley of deep shadows, the valley of the shadow of death. The sheep, because they are so timid and defenseless, are frightened by this experience. But they trust the shepherd, and therefore they are comforted. They will fear no evil because the shepherd is with them. We are reminded of the Lord's words quoted in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then David writes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff are different. The rod was a club which was used to drive off wild animals, somewhat like a baseball bat. It was never used on the sheep. It was a very heavy instrument used to protect the sheep from predators. On the other hand, the staff was a slender pole with a little crook on the end. It was used to help the sheep. The crook would be hooked around the leg of a sheep to pull him from danger. Or sometimes it could be used as an instrument to direct the sheep and occasionally to discipline the sheep when the sheep have gone the wrong way. The shepherd would tap on the side of the body of the sheep. Understand how the shepherd tends his sheep has helped us in understanding the character of God. When I go wandering away, God doesn't say, there goes that stupid sheep, Peter Ng, and whap, down comes the big club. No, his attitude is, well, that's Peter wandering away again. How can I help him? How can I move in and bring him back in line? How can I comfort him and supply what he needs? He may have to discipline, but he always does it in love. He reproves, corrects, encourages, and instructs in righteousness, dealing with us firmly, but also gently. Question, when our children wander off, should we jump on them immediately to punish with the club? Or should we, like God, determine how to gently bring them back toward the right path? What would you like if you wander off? Would you like your parents to hit you with a club or a staff? Children sometimes get confused. A little boy was asked one day if he knew where the Lord lived. The little boy said, yes, I know, the Lord lives in our bathroom. Well, the Sunday school teacher said, what makes you think that? And the child responded, well, every Sunday morning I hear Daddy banging on the bathroom door and yelling, good Lord, are you still in there? The shepherd is our comforter. Thank God. Likewise, we should be a comforter to our children. Number four, the shepherd is our host. David changes the metaphor from the good shepherd to the gracious host. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When David was driven into the wilderness by his son Absalom, he found himself out in the desert. He was hungry. He was weary, and his army is in disarray. He had no food, no water, nothing. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, there were three men who were not even Israelites, and their names are difficult to pronounce. They are Shobai, Machai, and Barzillai. They brought beds and wash basins and food to David and his team. And David saw in this that God as a gracious host was preparing a table before him in the presence of his enemies. And even a simple piece of bread is so delicious. Even just a little bottle of water tastes sweet. God prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. And Paul said likewise in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Psalm 23, verse 6 continue, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Maybe this is a different translation than from the NIV. It says, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me." God is good, and God is merciful. God is a good God. But you can't believe God is blessing you if at the same time you believe he is cursing you. It is difficult to believe his promises if you cannot get your mind off the idea that he is afflicting you. The Bible also says that God is a merciful God. Goodness and mercies are God's attributes. There's a little minor difference. Goodness meets our needs. Mercy forgives our faults. A story is said of a good and merciful boss who is treating his employees nicely. The employee had just lied to him. The employee has asked yesterday to leave work a little early in order to attend a funeral. Of course, the boss allowed him. Then, later on, the boss asked the employee, "Do you believe in life after death?" The new employee replied, "Yes, sir." The boss went on, "Well then, that makes everything just fine. After you left early yesterday to go to your grandmother's funeral, she stopped in to see you." The boss wanted to give the employee a second chance to learn from his mistake. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. The word follow in verse 6 literally means to pursue. David says that God's goodness and mercy shall pursue him. And David's desire was to go back to the house of the Lord and to worship him forever. When you pursue someone or something, it means that that something or someone is important to you. Last week, one of our cars was stolen, and I was shocked. And then later on, I drove around in the neighborhood and find the car broken into. And then somebody obviously have driven the car with a screwdriver. But then later on, as I reported to the police officer, he came, examined the car, and then he said, "Probably the only reason that your car is still here is that the guy doesn't know how to drive stick shift." It was still very close by our house. It's an old car. I pursued that car. I called the management office in the development. And I called the Edison police station. I drove around trying to find out where my car was. Finally, I find it. Love and goodness will follow us all the days of our lives, because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord knows his sheep. John chapter 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My question is, do you hear his voice? Does he know you? And are you following our great shepherd? Shall we pray? We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are our shepherd. We have everything that we need. We thank you that you are our provider. You are our guide. You are our comforter. You are our host. You give us everything that we need. You satisfy our deepest desire. Help us to listen to you, to follow you. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen.